Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Today, we've got Rich Potter, who is going to tell us all about franchising. Welcome to the podcast, Rich.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Franchising, that's a big subject, right? First of all, take me back. You told me 9 years ago, you started on your own working for yourself. Tell me that story.
Yeah, it actually took about 3 years to get there. So about 12 years ago, I was a sales executive working for an electronic component distributor. My largest account at the time, the company got bought out by a company in India. And I was worried that about 60, 70% of my commission was going to disappear. They were going to move all production to India where it's cheaper, and I was going to lose that account. I relied heavily on my commission, and that being my largest account scared me. So I went home from work. I told my wife about it, and we decided that we should start a side gig, a side business. So we started looking around on BizBuySell and Craigslist and just everywhere we could just get some ideas, because we wanted to start something. We just didn't know what. We found a photo booth company for sale in Phoenix, Arizona, which is where we live. And we started looking into that. We ended up not buying that business, but we liked the idea so much that we started a photo booth business. I reached out to my dad. I got a $10,000 loan from my dad, bought a photo booth, created a website, and went to it. That quickly turned into a second photo booth after about 3 months, and then a separate division in that event business. We started doing bubble soccer rentals. And within a year, we launched an e-commerce business. We were doing those two kind of together, building that up over the course of about 3 years until it finally overcame what I was making at my job. So decided to leave and went all in full time. And that was about 9 years ago. I've been completely self-employed for 9 years. We still have that e-commerce business, still great business for us. I have an office manager that pretty much oversees probably 95% or more of the day-to-day. Sure. We sold the event business about 2.5 years ago. We had a six-figure exit. It didn't really fit our lifestyle anymore, all the weekend events. We were doing a lot of weddings and birthday parties and different things. It didn't really fit with my kids getting bigger, wanting to be there with them on the weekends and the evenings. So we sold that, and I started what I'm doing now full-time with franchise consulting. Been doing that for 2.5, almost 3 years. I've owned a couple franchises myself in the past. Actually just sold my franchise this past weekend. I closed on that. So yeah, I love it. I love the support of a franchise, the systems. When you go into franchising, your odds of success are a lot higher than trying to do it on your own, because of all the support and the training. I'm a big fan of that. I've done both. I've done a couple of startups. I've done a couple of franchises. And you can definitely see a difference in franchising with the support and stuff that comes with it.
I love entrepreneurs. I think entrepreneurs are the greatest people in the world, because we see a problem in the world, right? How many other people see these problems? How many people have you come to you and they've got a great idea for you, right? But they don't do it themselves, right? No one takes that step. Yeah, I saw some stats the other day. Something like 2% of people in the world will start a business in their life.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that low.
Yeah, that's 10% of people will start a business in a year. And of that 1% of people that start a business, most of them will fail in the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes successful entrepreneurs a very small minority. And yeah, you're doing this with your wife, and you've been married for a long time. 21 years, did you say?
Almost, yeah, it'd be 21 in July. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really found over the years with entrepreneurship is that it's actually quite lonely.
It can be. No, you're absolutely right. It can be. I have to
Really.
make an effort to stay connected with my friends, my buddies. My wife's always pushing me. She's like, you need to go out with the guys. Go out with the guy. But it can be lonely. Yep, for sure.
And it can be lonely for a couple of different reasons. You can keep your friend circle. You can do, if you have the capacity to do that, and that's a big problem, is capacity. Yeah, you can do that. But even with your friends and your family and obviously with your wife, it's different, but you can't have the same conversations, right? You don't get the depth of the experience that you're dealing with. Oh, I had this client do this, or I don't know how to deal that with that problem. And that's one of the things that I'm spending a lot of time on now, is how do I build the communities around entrepreneurs that can have real conversations about stuff, right? Because it's so difficult to find that. You go to networking events and you think you're connecting with people. You are, but you're not connecting with entrepreneurs. Right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. Most of my buddies are not business owners. We can't have the conversations you can have with other owners, other entrepreneurs, for sure.
And I guess that's something from a franchise point of view that you tap into a bit, right?
Absolutely. The best franchises out there are going to have Facebook groups or Discord groups, or they'll have a way to connect, stay connected, swap ideas, swap the best practices, and stay in touch with people who are doing the same thing as you, the same business, the same brand in their market. So, yeah, there's a lot of good networking within franchises.
Awesome. So, where does it go now, right? Where does the world go now? Yeah, we're now at a different place. And I like what you're doing. I like the idea of slot machines and the photo booth and that, because that's quite a physical, hands-on product, right? What about AI? Where do you see AI taking over this world of entrepreneurship of us?
It's such an unknown. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. And we're entering a world where mass layoffs are becoming very common. That desk job, I think, is quickly disappearing. But I think what's not disappearing is the trades. I think the people that survive this have specific skills that can't be replaced by AI. And I think business ownership is one of those things that I think is going to be protected in a lot of ways. But certain types of businesses will last better, weather the storm better than others. I think home services will last and continue to be one of the best industries to get into. I think it's a very long time before that Tesla robot shows up at your door to fix your plumbing issues or to work on your HVAC and jump in your attic, right? That's going to be a human person that does that for a long time. The owner of that business is protected, but the workers as well. So I see AI now creeping into franchise space. You've got those AI agents that can be created that can help that business owner respond to phone calls. What those agents can do, right? They'll replace a ton of employees and make it so that your business is leaner, more profitable. Business owners should definitely lean into it, not be afraid of it. It can really help out in the franchise space.
I think we're missing a trick, right? If you've got 10 people in your company and 10 people in your company are doing 70% of the work they don't like doing and 30% of the work that they do like work doing, quite often that work that they're doing is this ability to connect as humans. It's ability to have these deeper connections. It's ability to spend more time with the customers. It's ability to really go out and have the meetings and do the things that life has got so busy that we don't do it anymore. And this should be the opportunity that business owners lean into. I've got three IT companies. If I can have somebody working for 5 hours a day and doing 10 times the work and enjoying their life, wouldn't that be a better thing to do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's the world we can go into.
Yeah, I hope that's the direction that this takes us, right? There's no reason that we need to be working as hard as we are now. We can become more efficient, and if we can change the culture to where 6-hour work days or 4-hour work weeks or whatever is more common, because we can get the same amount of work done in that time with the help of AI, right? So hopefully it's not that now we're doing 5 times as more work, working just as hard or harder. Hopefully we can step back and have a better work-life balance with the technology that we're seeing.
And I think one of the stats that really, or more statistics, one of the stats that I saw the other day was 62% of business owners are now struggling with AI burnout. And I've worked out why it is, right? Because the way our minds work is I see a problem and I'm like, okay, I can fix that. Then I see another problem and I can fix that. We walk around looking at these problems in the world we can fix. And we've had this list in our mind of all these problems we want to fix for so long. Now AI has come along and it's like giving us solutions to all these problems, right? But it's not giving us the ability to deliver them. Because ChatGPT's got 5,000 threads on it, your Claude's got 5,000 threads on it. And that's going to change over time. But we see all this opportunity, right? And the biggest trick in my wheelhouse at the moment is what's the problem I'm trying to fix? Yeah, what's the actual problem I need to fix for my business right now? Not the shiny shit. And by the shiny shit, as soon as we chase it, oh, I've got this great idea, I'm going to go and do that. Yeah. How do you think we manage with this, the overwhelm piece? Have you seen it much yourself?
I deal with it myself a lot. I think that's something that entrepreneurs deal with constantly. Not only is it a lonely world, sometimes it's tough, right? Running businesses is not easy, and that burnout's real. For me, having a routine in the mornings with my intentional meditation practice and my walk. I do that stuff to set my day, give me some me time. I'm not that guy that spends 2 hours on the morning and does the sauna and the cold plunge and all of that stuff. And I'm like, I don't begrudge that. That's great. I need 30 minutes. I need 45 minutes to a little meditation, a little walk, my coffee, and then I'm off. But there's definitely things that we can do to help with the burnout. I don't know the solution to it. It's real. I think it just takes a little bit purposeful action to work through it.
For me, it was understanding that I have to look after myself because I can't do nearly as well. But once you can tie your own wellness to your profit, then you tend to put more effort into your wellness, right?
Yeah, I think another thing is making sure that you're aligned properly with the type of business you're building. And that's something that I am very intentional about when I help my clients to look at franchises is before we ever look at any brands or any industry, I really want to get a good feel for the type of lifestyle that they're trying to build around a business. Do they want to work weekends, late evenings? Do they want something that's more semi-passive that they can hire a manager to do a lot of? There's a lot of making sure, are you the type of person that is more of a hunter, or are you a gatherer type of person, right? A lot of those IT professionals that I work with are more of that gatherer mentality. They're not super outgoing, right? And they wouldn't fit very well with a sales heavy franchise. Those are things I just need to know up front, so I'm not showing them that franchise that's you're now a B2B sales super heavy, which won't fit for that person, right? So I think when you're not properly aligned mentally with the business that you're in, whether it's a job or whether it's business ownership, that'll definitely lead to burnout pretty fast as well.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think that's what happens in a lot of cases is that people have an idea, they make a bit of money on it, and they're doing it for the money. They're not doing it for the passion or for the vision or for, I do what I do now. I'm actually more doing business coaching than IT business. I'm busy existing at the moment. I love getting in front of somebody and I love seeing the light in their eyes. Okay, yes, I can fix that and I can fix that and I can do this. They go from half a million to a million, loving their life again. Business owners deserve to live the life they love. We get into this for freedom. We end up in a prison of our own making. I want to pick your brains about franchising because it's such an interesting subject. And I've got a few clients that are probably on the other side of what you're doing now, but you will have done this in the past. So creating your own franchise, talk to me about that. Yeah. What I do is I systemize with AI, I systemize with business operating system. I don't know if you've come across EOS or business operating systems. And
Yeah, I
so
like this.
I was previously an EOS coach and now I'm a BOS coach, which is an offshoot of that for smaller businesses. More cost effective, more manageable with AI, less structured. So you're a business owner, you've got a really good operating system laid out, you know what you're doing, you don't need to be there. That's a time to think about franchising.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is something that I help people out with as well. I help the guy who wants to start a business get into franchising, but that person who's also developed a very successful startup business that can be franchised. So you need to get it to a point where it's profitable. You need systems because the only way you're going to be able to sell other franchise territories and help those owners and operators become successful is if everything that's up here that made your business successful needs to be written down, needs to be in a playbook. You need to be able to deliver that, right? Every franchise out there was launched by some operator who created a very successful business in their own market. They saw an opportunity, and rather than trying to expand through corporate locations, it made more sense to them to expand through franchising. So they created the franchise, sold the territories, but now it's a totally different business. You need to have those systems and those trainings and that support. A lot goes into it, but it's a fantastic way to grow your brand nationwide. I like it better than trying to expand corporately because you can hire managers in different regions, different states, but those managers, they're going to quit, they're going to leave, they're not going to care as much as an owner. And if you're selling territories to people who own that territory and own that market, they're going to care about it a lot more. They're putting their own time, their own money into it. And you can create a pretty dominant nationwide brand by doing that.
But you're starting from nothing. You're starting from, you've got a business now, it's running quite well, you've systemized it, you're making half $1 million a year or $1 million a year. At what point do you say, actually, now I need to think about franchising?
Yeah, I would think at that point where you're starting to think about expansion. You're dominating your market, you've got all the systems in place, and you're thinking about, hey, should I open up in that metro, the neighboring state? Or my brother-in-law came to me and said, hey, you should open up here. You get people starting to approach you to talk about opening up in other markets. I think it's a great time to think about franchising. I think it's very important that you're at that profitability state. You're not in that growth state still where you're trying to take over your market, you're still trying to hit that ROI, still trying to make profit. Don't do it then because you need to have everything in place at your location to show that it's repeatable in someone else's market as well. It's a totally different business. You're jumping out from operator to mentor. Now you're trying to help people replicate it. And you need to hire because you're going to need to hire a lot of people with the support systems to the business coaches and franchise development reps and people to provide all of that support that you as a founder, you'll never be able to continue to run your corporate location and provide all the coaching and mentoring of your new franchisees if you try to do it alone.
You've got your operation up and running. You're doing $1 million a year. By my definition of running a business correctly, is you can take 3 months off and the carriage is running. You're still growing.
I like to call it bust-proofing my business, right? If I get hit by a bus tomorrow and I end up in the hospital for 3 months, will my business still be around when I get out?
Exit ready. That's all. What are those kind of costs like? Give me a, obviously it's going to be different for everything. Firstly, to set it up and to get all those resources in place. And then, so that's on that side, but on the other side is what's the payout like?
Yeah, so we partner with a firm that does a lot of it with us. So we have a lawyer that will create the franchise disclosure document. That is a 200 plus page document that explains the franchise offering. It has to be registered with every state that you want to offer your franchise in. There's the manuals, the different playbooks that need to be written. We also get you into 12 different franchise shows across the US. The whole setup process takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months to get you up and operational and be able to offer franchises. So it costs $65,000 to do that side of it. But then if you want to join the broker associations, I'm part of the Franchise Broker Association. There's about 500 franchises that belong to it that I can represent to my clients. So if you want to get in front of brokers that are now helping you push your franchise, that costs money to be part of those associations, to get in front of those brokers who are your lead gen arm. And then there's hiring. You do need at least an operations manager, a business coach, someone like that. So you have a probably a six-figure salary that you need to bring on to coach and help. I would say you got that $65,000, you got at least that one six-figure salary. It's probably $150,000, $200,000 launch project to open up a franchise, right? But then you're charging anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 per territory, depending on what you, let's say, average right now. So the franchise fees that you're charging should cover your operational support. You sell a couple of those and you've got your
And is
rent.
that a one-off fee? Recurring.
So the franchise fee itself is just a one-time upfront. And typically, the way a lot of franchises will do it is they'll charge $60,000 for that first territory, and then $45,000 if you want a second, a $30,000 if you want a third. So it does get discounted if you buy more locations. But if that's the one time, and then there is that a royalty, usually somewhere between 5 and 8% royalty, and that's off of your top line revenue. So you will have that royalty coming in to help support operations as well.
So you're looking at selling five of those, and then you're starting to make money.
Yeah, those first few, you're not going to make any money on that. That's just going to cover all the expenses, hopefully get you to a break-even point. But once you're like 5, 10 plus, you should be generating enough money to start hiring a great support team and really build out a good operation. Some of the best franchises I've seen pre-hired all that stuff. They took a risk. They hired 3 or 4 people before they ever sold that first franchise location because they knew they wanted the proper support in place before they started selling. And now Voda Cleaning and Restoration is one that comes to mind. They've sold over 100 territories in 2 years. They put operational support in place before they ever sold a franchise location, and it's really paid huge dividends for them.
And then I guess you have that internal struggle of if I go and do it myself, how much can I actually do,
Yeah. You mean not buying a franchise?
right? And just opening up the locations.
You definitely save on the franchise fee itself, but then you're trying to figure it out yourself, right? You're trying to figure out the marketing, you're trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. I think in a lot of cases, you're going to get to profitability faster through a franchise because you're going to be able to skip mistakes. You'll learn from someone who's already made those
But
mistakes.
do you have both elements happening where the main brand will go and open their own other offices in their prime locations and then sell franchises in others?
Yeah, there are plenty of franchise organizations that are still expanding through corporate locations too, as well as selling franchise locations. Yep.
That seems like a sensible way to have both sides of the pie.
Yeah, you'll see franchises that have 10 plus corporate locations and then franchise locations. Some of the real successful ones, they had 20 corporate locations before they ever sold franchises. Everyone has a different approach. Then you have those one location, then they operate. Some will sell that corporate location to a franchisee, have no corporate locations, and just manage the franchise. They feel like they're better at helping people launch and grow than they are at running their own corporate location. There's several different approaches to it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think I should become a franchise coach.
I think you
Something
should.
I should.
Yes.
Well, the business side of it, not the selling side of it. Cool. And what's next for you? Where are you taking it? What's the next big project?
Like I said, I just sold my franchise. I'm in Phoenix and I owned a franchise up in the Salt Lake territory with my brother. We only owned it for about a year, launched it. It became really difficult for me to travel up to Utah as much as I thought. And my brother's job took a lot of time. And we figured we weren't going to be able to grow it as big and as fast as we wanted. So we decided to exit. We had a good exit. We're happy with what we got for it. Now I spend most of my time helping people get into business through franchising. But I think my next project, I want to build some legacy businesses for my kids, especially my 16. She's finishing up her sophomore year. She wants to go get a job, but she sees that I don't have a job. We're actually going to start a local vending machine business and create small routes and micro businesses for my kids so that they can learn how to operate a business and learn how to get new clients, how to fill these machines, how to track inventory. And that way, they don't have to go flip burgers. They can make more money than their friends just to fill in these vending machines.
And the thing is, what a blessing that is for you. You're able to go now with this entrepreneurial journey of yours and really make time for your family in a way that you would never have been able to do before, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. I love the freedom that being an entrepreneur has provided for me. Good income, but more than anything, it's the ability to be here for my family. I work from home a couple days a week. I'll go into the office. I run an e-commerce business. We still have a big warehouse. So I'll go in there and operate for 3 days a week with a lot of freedom. I never miss anything important for my kids. I'm always there for it, which is the most important part.
Just to close off, you're thinking about franchising your business. What's the one thing you should think about other than speaking to you, obviously?
Yeah, reach out to me for sure. Now, just make sure that you've got the systems in place to manage it, right? Any knowledge that you have up here, it needs to be down on paper somewhere. It needs to be in some sort of operation manual. That's the biggest thing, like being able to transfer your knowledge of how to build up a successful business needs to be transferable. That's the biggest thing. It needs to be replicatable in another market. If that's the case, then I think you're ready for it. Financially, you've got the money there to support that, then it's a great way to expand your business. And I think you should definitely consider working. When people start a franchise, they try to find their franchisees themselves, and they'll struggle for a few years. Maybe you don't need to join the broker networks, but get in with a couple of brokers to help grow your system. You're gonna have to pay someone like me a commission to do that, but it's gonna help bring people into your system a lot faster than you're trying to do it yourself. You're probably not that marketer. You probably don't know how to go find those franchise leads to buy a franchise. You know how to operate a successful roofing business, right? So stick with that and let the brokers like me help bring potential franchisees to you. That'd probably be one of my biggest recommendations to the franchise owners.
Yeah. Thanks very much for joining us, George. Wish your daughter very much luck in her vending machine operation.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I provide a free service. Anybody who wants to look into franchising, whether you want to buy a franchise or whether you want to turn your business into a franchise, my service is 100% free to my clients. That consulting and coaching throughout the process to identify that right business for you. Just reach out to me, franchiseheroes.co.
Jeff, I'll put that on all the details as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Roy. It was good chatting with you.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers starts with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.